We have done absolutely nothing to deserve to be forgiven. And so we just come as needy people, acknowledging our desire to walk with you. And thank you that you have made full provision for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we just come declaring your greatness and your goodness and asking that you would be greatly exalted in and through us. Lord, open our hearts to you this morning, that we would recognize you for who you are, and even ourselves for who we are. So we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, team.
Giving thanks is a choice. Thanksgiving may be a holiday. It happens whether you want it to happen or not. But giving thanks is a choice. Thanksgiving as a holiday does not automatically make you thankful. Some of you are not looking forward to the work of the cooking that you're going to be doing for that extended family or whatever. You look forward to the family, maybe not all the labor. We have reasons to be thankful, but that doesn't mean we always are thankful. I want you to think about this because it's a choice. Just like turning to the right or the left. Now, which way did I do it? Did I do that wrong? I did. For me, it was wrong. For you guys, it was right. You're like, hey, that was cool. See? Sometimes we don't even recognize the choices that we're making. And that goes back to this whole thing where we've been talking about, the spiritual battle. And choosing to give thanks is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual choice. And I want us to look at it today because we all know there's reasons to be thankful. But oftentimes, we also know there's reasons why we're not thankful. Any of you got some unthankful reasons going on today? You know, you got some awareness of some situations going on? And so I want to talk about this idea of a Thanksgiving sacrifice, that we would give God what he's worthy of, even though it may cost you. See, that's what a sacrifice does. It costs you something, and it's something that you offer up. You know the declaration of Scripture. I mean, when I share some of this, a lot of times I just feel like I'm just doing review, but we all need reminders, right? So one of those reminders is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Would you read this reminder? You know, it's for the person next to you, in case you're wondering who we're reading it for. You're to be helping them out a little bit here, all right? In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you didn't say that right, you need to put a little more emphasis on the you and you look at your neighbor. So we're going to try that again. Help them out because we want you to be here before we're done. All right? So in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but he actually was writing that to us, wasn't he? So he's saying, this is what God wants for you. This is the battle. This is an issue of obedience. This isn't an issue of feeling. This isn't an issue of, well, if I like to, I'll get around to that. This is a project someday I'll do. No, he says, this is what God wants for you to be his will in you and through you. So I want to give you just a confidential piece of information. I don't always give thanks. Just in case you think, James, boy, he's just always on it every Sunday. I don't always give thanks in every situation. How about you? Why is it that there are situations where we don't give thanks when we know we ought to give thanks? You know, my perspective is that if we don't see what there is to give thanks about, or don't feel thankful for what we are experiencing, we stop giving thanks. Because oftentimes we are those people who are walking by feelings and by sight rather than by faith, and therefore we miss the blessing. We can be unthankful. We can actually grumble. You know, you look in the Old Testament, God's view of grumbling is not very nice. Okay, he deals with grumblers. So how do we move from griping into praising? How does a person move from the idea of resenting into rejoicing? That's a choice. So I want you to look with me in the Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 69. We're just going to take a quick look. And we're actually using this time to prepare you to partake of communion with gratitude, to really understand the attitude that we're to have when we come to this, and also prepare you to share. But you have to gain God's perspective if you're going to give God praise. It's something that has to be worked on and processed through. It's not like a Instamatic photo. You just pull it up, pit to picture, and the developing is going on. We have to make choices to develop a perspective that God has of us, of our circumstances, of himself. Remember, that's the key three: God, ourselves, and our circumstances. We need to have a truthful perspective in that spot. But it takes faith to live and see life differently. But you can gain God's perspective by spending time with God. All right? So David shows us some things here in the Psalms. And it's interesting in Psalm 69, 29, and 30 to notice his perspective. And if you are in a lull, or you're in a difficult spot, the Psalms are a great place to go and watch somebody work through their feelings into faith. He does it again and again in this book. Psalm 69, verse 29 says, "But I am afflicted and in pain." Can anybody identify with that today? Maybe it's emotional, maybe it's physical, maybe it's both, maybe it's relational. "I'm afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving." Hello. Does 30 really seem like it belongs after 29? See, most of us say, "I'm afflicted and in pain. May your salvation come, oh God. Please get with it. Would you please help me, God? I'm so bummed out." Da, 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 da. You know what I'm talking about? You start into those grumbles even in your prayer time. You can just slide down the hill. But he says, "I'm afflicted. I'm in pain. I will praise the name of God." So in here, he has to have a choice of heart and mind, just like us, to say, "I'm going to get God's perspective." Listen, I find I have to shift my focus from what I'm looking at, what's pulling me down, to God in a continual way. I shift my focus from that me, myself, and I kind of situation and how I feel about it over to my God and my Savior. Now, I express my pain to God. See, this is not about denying something. I express my pain to God. I cast my care on God. He's just done that. Okay? And then I continue into this conversation about who God is and how he works. Why? Because I must gain God's perspective to give God praise. Otherwise, it's just something fake. You could sing the song here this morning, but you're not there. See, unless you have God's perspective, you have God's perspective, and you're like, "Yes, that's true." And we can affirm that and step into that. The interesting thing when you read the Psalms, and actually when you read all of Scripture, you find that you can give God praise in any and every situation. I don't like some of the classrooms that I've been in to experience that. I've shared that story before. When you stand there in a cemetery in San Francisco burying your brother at the age of 32, you can give God praise. You know, you're standing in Carson City Hospital and you're watching both your wife in your second-born child's life fade away, you can still give God praise. There's situations I've been in where you're sitting in an office and you're watching a marriage be torn asunder by choices that ought not to be made. I can still give God praise. You don't know what God's up to, but you know God is in charge. And you submit to his authority in these situations. So I have to come to this perspective of who will I trust? Me or God? Now, you would think that ought to be a pretty simple situation, isn't it? Me? The liar? Oh, yeah. You don't think you lie to yourself? We lie to ourselves about life all the time. Or God, the one who is always faithful, always true, who knows the end from the beginning and is working all things together for good. Now, there's a really hard decision, but we wrestle with those things, don't we? So I want you to think about this. I can easily be deceived, and so can you. So I need to seek God's perspective. Turn one page over in the Psalms, if you're there, to Psalm 70. And look how he puts it here. He starts on the positive side and drifts to the reality side of where his experience is. Psalm 70, verse 4, he says, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." Who? All who seek you. Rejoice and be glad. So I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how frustrated you are, how all who seek, rejoice and be glad. If you want to pursue God, if you want to have a deeper relationship with God, then this perspective I'm talking about is a critical factor for the process. And let those who love your salvation say continually, "Let God be magnified." So the pursuit is my responsibility, that I come declaring that God is my all-satisfying desire, the giver of grace, the sustainer of my life, the one in whom I'm well pleased. Are you pleased with God? Can you ever remember being really frustrated with your parent? You know, and as a child, you kind of did that pout thing. You copped an attitude. Some of you got a child that's still doing that to you. Some of them are adults, and they're still doing that to you. He says, "Let all who seek be glad in you." Be glad in God. Trust him. And then he says this, "Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Does that sound similar to something we just read? Is that saying, we're going to say, I want God be to receive the glory. And then he says, "But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay." So what's he saying? He says, the only way to get there with God is to give God praise and to give God. He says, "But I am busted. I am hurting. I am struggling." Praise flows from the lips of the child of God who trusts God. It comes out of our hearts when we get there. And we get this perspective from the Word. So when I'm talking about this, I must gain God's perspective to give God praise. When I come back to the Word, that's what I do. Middle of the night, sometimes, bunch of stuff on my mind. I can't seem to throw it off the side of my bed. I've got to get up, go out to the couch, kneel down, open up the Word, and get God's perspective from the Word. I want you to remember this. One of the things you do to gain God's perspective is you have to tell yourself the truth. You are really good at rehearsing events. You are really good at going back over your ideas of what might happen, your fears. Tell yourself the truth. Get a perspective from the Word. He said, "Let God be magnified. I will rejoice always." Why? Because God is good and he's worthy of being magnified. So, it's not about saying, "I don't have pain." See, this is not about just going, "Oh, praise the Lord." You know those folks? They're dying inside, but they're faking it with you, okay? And we've all been there some days, but some people stay there. The calling on God for healing, the calling on God from your brokenness is not a thankless call. You know, that Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So you can call on God from a place of great pain, a place of great brokenness, and still give God praise. And I think sometimes in our mind is pain and praise, problems and praise don't seem like they can go together. But in the book of God, they can. In the life of the child of God, they can. And so you gain God's perspective this way. So it's interesting. He closes out this phrase here. He says, Lord, you are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. When I remember who God is, my hope is restored. See, when I choose to focus on him, my hope is restored. My circumstance may not change at all. Sometimes when I get up in the night, I'll have to write down a bunch of stuff. You know, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a mess. You know, a little negative prophecy. You know how you do that kind of stuff. You know, you write this thing. But this is who he is. All right, I'm okay. And so when I sort that out, it goes through. So think about this, though. We're saved by faith people. Amen? Amen. Saved by faith people. And we're to be walking by faith people. And when you walk by faith people, you will then begin praising God in every situation. It is the response of faith. And so if I'm not in praise, there's something I'm not believing about the situation, about God, myself, or my circumstances. Remember, that's that key three. There's something I'm not believing about that. So I want you to think about this, because Jesus shows us this as well. And so this is going to be our prep moment right here. Turn with me to Mark 14. Jesus Christ is, of course, our great example of faith, but he's also that example of how to take pain and praise your Father in the midst of it. So in Gethsemane, in Mark 14, we find these verses in 34 and 35. He's talking to his disciples, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. There's a lot of people who would like that to read, oh, I'm doing just fine because I'm walking conquering as a king. No, Jesus says, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. He's not denying what he's feeling. He's not denying what he's facing. He's facing it with faith and the Father. So he says, remain here and keep watch. He went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray, if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he's saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what we will. You gain God's perspective. How? By spending time with God. That's the only way you get it. You have to spend time with God. That's the only way I get it. And I've told you guys before, I feel like I'm like the slow one. So I have to take a long time with God to get to where I need to be. But it's what helps me. And so Jesus does what? He comes and he prays. What's he say? He says, Abba, Father. He comes to Jesus' dad and says, Dad, all things are possible. What's he doing? He's worshiping. He's praising his Father. Right here at the greatest moment of pain that he's about to enter into, he's still praising his Father. All right? And then he declares the reality. All things are possible. God's ability in the circumstances he's in is enough. So it is a good thing when you're praying to pray that way. Pray about who God is, not just about what you want. Okay, think about that. How am I talking to him? He doesn't redefine God because it seems like God's going to let him down in this moment. No, he's praising God. Jesus gains God's perspective where? In prayer. Isn't that interesting? You read him always went out to pray. He kept maintaining that perspective. You can cast your care on him. You can call on him. You can intercede with your desire. What does he say? He says, Father, take this cup from me. What? not my will, but yours be done. The ultimate act of prayer and praise is submission. You subject your will to his will. That's worship. You acknowledge his wisdom because of who he is, not because you get what you want. Sometimes in this life, it just seems like you go after year after year, and you've asked, and you've asked, and you've asked. And then you say, oh, God must not be hearing me. God must not care about me. Oh, no, 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 no. God's character will not, cannot ever change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My perspective needs to change. And maybe he has a good thing going through the pain that I'm in. That's what I have to shift to. Listen, you and I are in a war. It's in your mind. Getting God's perspective is what's going to give you that opportunity to give God's praise. When you have it, you will praise. So that's just one of the clues. You can say, hey, how full is the tank? Well, how much praise is going on? That'll give you this perspective. And by the way, he then says what? Keep watching and praying. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So he comes back to these guys that are totally blowing it and says, keep watching and praying. And I'm wondering, you know, there's a whole bunch of guilt that happened to these guys later that night. But I'm wondering how many times did that come back to their mind later on? And go, oh, that's right. Keep watching and praying. There's a war. There's a battle. Praise in the midst of pain provides God greater glory, I think. And we've got this amazing testimony in our Bible of people who demonstrated the ability to look at God and say, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there, said Job in the cemetery with 10 children's graves lying in front of him. Yeah, that's hard to comprehend. Or Joseph saying to his 11 brothers, yeah, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. That's a God perspective that allowed him not to become bitter in the middle of a horrible, horrible situation. You know? Paul in prison saying, your grace is sufficient for me. Rejoice always. The guy is chained. Rejoice always. When we get God's perspective, we'll be full of praise. Thankfulness is a choice that you can make. So as we come to take communion this morning, I want you to think about this before we do. The Bible says we don't take this in an unworthy manner. So what do? Here's my question. Where are you stuck? We don't tend to get stuck in every area at all times. Sometimes we can, but usually it's, I've got a spot. Where are you feeling unable to give God thanks? You're caught up in anger, in fear, in grief, in hopelessness. You know what? If you feel a lump, you talk to your doctor about it. You don't ignore it. If there's a hard spot in your soul, do not ignore it. Bring it to the God who can deal with that and turn from bitterness into thankfulness. And you'll find healing for your soul. Let's pray. Lord, we're looking to you because only you can save. Only you can wash. Only you can encourage. Take us from where we are to where we could be. Help us begin to see your perspective in all situations. Lord, I just pray that you would soften hardened hearts, that you would soften stiffness to your spirit, and that you would move through us in a way of grace. Thank you for your provision for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want you to offer up a sacrifice of praise. We like to advise you. Let's go ahead and go off of my earpiece here. I'd like to advise you, as you share your praise, just make this the Reader's Digest version. Okay, just...
There's only a few of you need that advice, but you know, we want to give multiple people a chance to articulate something that God's done. So I have a couple words for you on the screen that we'll put up here just as little reminders if you need a little stirring of what this is about. I've been talking about this whole idea of the key three: God, yourself, and your circumstances. Maybe it's just a statement about God. Maybe it's a verse of scripture that you want to share. Don't preach the sermon. I already did that. So just share a verse of scripture and a word of encouragement. What's God been teaching you? You know, what's he been taking you through? Something about yourself or the circumstances. How has God been working in your life? Now, it may be something you don't see how it fits in those three. That's okay. But the idea is that we are going to take this time to exalt he. Okay, we exalt he by speaking forth. All right. Psalm says that the one who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. So I have Doug over here. I'm going to put Dan over here. And if you'll just wave, they're going to come to you. Now, we have one word of advice. This is what allows our sound guy to give thanks is when the microphone comes. I want these guys to show you how you do this. When the microphone comes to you, you put it on your chin, all right? You let them decide how loud it goes. Don't pull it away. It's very hard to amplify voices from the belly button. Okay, so help us out. Put it on your chin, and he'll take care of putting it at the right volume. It may sound a little loud to you to start with, but we got people here that are hard of hearing. So we want them to hear the word of praise. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so go.
God is my Savior. And just as soon as I think I've got it figured out how much, he keeps teaching me. And what he's been teaching me is something about something we don't usually think of as sometimes a good thing, and that's Facebook. I know, before the groans start. But Facebook has been teaching me some amazing things about my old classmates. There's a part of high school that sticks with you forever. And some parts of that high school was not always the best. But what has been growing over the last year is my high schoolmates, some I really enjoyed and celebrated, some I did not, have come together, and what he's been working in that is him. I'm seeing him show up in their lives. People I would never have guessed. I ought to put money down, never. And not only showing up in their lives, but actually being bold with that. And the latest example was yesterday. One of those folks in that crew has passed on. And in high school, he was made fun of a lot because he was just, "Hello, Kevin. My name is Dennis. How you doing?" And that was kind of his approach to things. But he ended up being the spiritual leader. He would encourage everyone. And at his passing, I was once again stunned at the depth of the people that he touched through the years, that he contacted on his own. I wonder if Dennis single-handedly weaved these guys together. But it was amazing. And I'm celebrating the fact that he's now gone on because he was miserably wretchful in his body and never complained. But that's my praise for today. Thank you.
All right. So also, if you would tell us your name as you start the praise, it helps people be able to say something by name to you afterwards if they'd like.
That's Kevin.
Somebody else.
That's Kevin.
Yes, we did know that was Kevin.
Good morning. God has been really working in our lives this year. Earlier in the summer, Donna and I were rebaptized, got down in that lovely, warm, clean Rogue River, but gave the praise to God. And a little later on, we were moved to step out in faith, and we assumed leadership in a very great life group, and they have been as important to us as any people in this community. So we want to thank God for those directions in our lives.
Amen.
I'm Nat Donna. And he stole some of my words. I guess that's what's happened when you don't connect in the mornings. But one of the things that I'm so thankful for is God placing us into this home of his, Jerome Prairie, and placing us into the life group that we're in. And I feel like we receive so much more from our life group than what we give. And I'm sure my life group friends will agree with me. I'm thankful for all of you.
Awesome.
My name is Laura Gregory. Our family was hit with the C word this year, cancer. And Josh's mom and Verna's daughter was diagnosed with third stage lung cancer. It was also in her lymph nodes on both sides of her lungs back in January. And she immediately started, well, not as immediately as we wanted her to, but she started treatment and got chemo and radiation. And she had her scans in September, and they came back completely clear. The tumor was gone, and all of the cancer out of her lymph nodes were gone. So we are just so thankful to God. You know, there was a lot of people around us that, even some Christians, that, you know, they didn't have a lot of hope for her. And, you know, she remained so faithful during this whole thing. She always had a smile on. She never complained once. And if you ask her why and how she got through it, her answer is God, and that he brought her through this, and that he healed her, and he, you know, he gave her so much peace, and us so much peace during this whole thing that was very hard for our family. But, you know, we're so thankful for God for his healing.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thankful for the fact that I've been in a class this year by the Holy Spirit, and he has taught me that if I trust in him, which is not just believing that he was the Son of God, that God is in control, but if I completely rely upon God for every day and submit to him every day, he is an awesome God. He takes us through things that I would never have had strength in my own to do, and I think that was the part of the secret of the class this year, was I don't have it in me. So I am so thankful that God is God, that he is in complete control, and that if I submit to him, he just continues to bless me more and more.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Shay. I'm actually the daughter of Letha and Keith Todd. They're neighbors of Clyde and Marty Elliott, as well as Bob and Flo Tibbetts. And they lived there 20 years. And this has been actually a horrible year. So I've been trying to give God praise. But have you ever gotten to that point where you just are numb and you curl up in a little ball in your spiritual walk? And you say, Lord, did I do something wrong? I know I did something wrong because I love you so much. And I walk by your precepts and I do as you commanded. But I know I must have turned to the left when you said the right, because there's darkness all around me. And your spirit, I don't see your spirit, and I know you love me so. But how do I praise you when I'm a nothing and I'm wrong? And that the reason I'm giving you that, because sometimes in her walk, it's not all light. There's darkness. And this year was so horrible. I have MS and fibromyalgia, and those two are nasty together. And then I got hit by a drunk driver. And so this year, because I'm so broken, my husband finally said, enough, I'm done with you. And so I went into surgery, and because of postponement with the court date, 3 days later I had to go into court with my husband. And the morning at 2 a.m., I was notified that my mother passed. And so when I stood up before the judge with my husband, and we were divorcing, and he said, it was determined I had to leave my home of 20 years. Okay, I have a hand that I can't use, and a hip that's going to be replaced within a month because I can't walk. And I have to move out of my home but I have to go up to Grand's Pass because my mother's gone, where I'm informed that I'm in charge of her estate. Okay, what? Lord, no, 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 that's my sister. No, my sister's supposed to do that, Lord. I'm the least of them. Seriously, I am not smart when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, no, no, I was. And all this is coming into this great big wad of chaos. And so I go back, have my surgery, and I have to, because as compassionate as people are, things have to be done. And so I forego all the rehab. And in the midst of that, we're rear-ended by an uninsured driver that somewhat destroyed my new hip. And so I come up here, and I'm thinking with these, and I'm sorry, I hope this is not too dark. I have these pills because I hurt so bad, and I'm a nothing, and nobody needs me. My kids are adults. My parents are gone. My husband doesn't want me, and I have failed and shamed my God. And while I was there taking care of my mother's house, Clyde and Marty showed up, and they reached out, and they loved me. That simple. It was that simple. Clyde showed up with his mower. It sounds silly, but he said, "Is there anything I could do for you?" I said, "Will you mow my lawn?" And he goes, "Sure." Oh, really? Somebody reached out to me, and they brought me here, and you guys hugged me. And you made me feel loved. And I realized it doesn't matter if I'm a nothing. He's a something. And you guys are my family. And thank you. I gave thanks for the family of God, for Marty and Clyde, and for what you're teaching them, Pastor. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sheila.
Okay, so I have a lot of things to be thankful for this year. I'm not standing up, honey. I wrote it down because I wanted to stay focused. I chose one thing to be thankful for because I think that at least one person here needs to hear it. Please bear with me. It's a little raw, but you'll get it at the end. 10 years ago, God called me into foster care, beginning with my grandson, and blossoming from there. If God had told me then what the job description was or what it would have cost me, I would never have said, "Yes, I'll do that, Lord." As our Creator, God knows us intimately. He knows the intricate parts of our being. Every second of our life was planned out before we were born. Would we walk out His plan if we knew in advance all that it would entail? I wouldn't. The good thing is, He knows that about me. This past year brought me to a breaking point. I was done. Not just with foster care. I was done with life. No, I wasn't suicidal. I just didn't want to be here anymore. I got out of bed each morning by sheer obedience, and every night I begged God to take me home. I felt I had failed God. I knew I had failed my family. In early August, one Sunday morning, someone here at church, who had been attempting a coffee date with me and who I was successfully putting off, walked up to me, put her hands on my shoulders, and said, "It's time for that coffee date." As my head was nodding and my lips green, my thoughts were telling me, "Just keep up the facade, Dory." We met for coffee. She talked about who she was, where she came from, what she walked through, and where God was in it all. As I was listening, I was thinking, so she doesn't have this pain-free, scarless life that her spunky, bubbly personality portrays. I told her I didn't trust her. I wasn't going to open up to her. And she said, "That's okay." And she kept talking. Eventually, she got me to tell my little secret of not wanting to be here anymore, that I was done. I was pretty adamant that I didn't have to do it, and I could just disappear. She calmly, lovingly, matter-of-factly told me that I wasn't giving up. This was who God created me to be, and I would go on. I thought, brave lady. She promised to be there day or night and to pray unceasingly for me. I went home, pondered over our conversation, and went to bed without talking to God that night. The next morning, I got up and went outside. I love listening to the morning sounds of nature. As I was enjoying my surroundings, smoky as it was, I felt God's presence envelop me. I fell to my knees and silently screamed, "What do you want from me? I have failed miserably. Nothing is as it should be. It's all wrong. What could you possibly want from me?" In my spirit, so discernibly clear, he answered me, "I want you first." What does that mean, you want me first? I want you before the kids. I want you before your husband. I want you before your busyness. You see, God got what was left of me, bits and pieces throughout the day, my tatteredness as I fell into bed. From my perspective, I didn't have any more to give at the beginning of my day than at the end or somewhere in between. And I didn't see how giving God the first moments of my day was going to change anything. But I agreed. That commitment changed my life. Don't misunderstand, my circumstances are still the same. The pain and scars from yesterday's are still there. The chaos still rears its ugly head almost daily. I still make mistakes. I still sin daily. I haven't got it together any better now than I did before. But I discovered that's okay. None of that matters. Jesus took care of all that on the cross. God's not watching my performance. He's not counting my sins against me. He's not keeping track of my failures. He loves me. All he wants from me is me. All of me. First. To that person who insisted we have coffee, I am grateful. For there is no greater love than the love of my Abba Father. And for that, I am thankful.
Thank you, Dory.
Yes, and what a year it has been, huh? Last two of you spoke. I know we don't know each other all that well, but we're going to hug after this. It's been a rough time for a lot of people, but I wanted to encourage all of you and echo what Dory just said. I learned that very lesson this year, that God wants you. You are no less important than the pastor. You are no less important than the elders or anybody else in the church. We're not part of the hierarchy. We're part of the family. And this family reached out to me when I was in the pit, and my wife and everybody around me was being trampled into the dust, and nobody wanted to say anything. But I'm a hard man, I'm a strong man, and I've been able to do everything myself my entire life. And this year I could not take another step or another breath. And some people reached out to me with some texts and phone calls, and my pastor even said, I beg to disagree with you on your philosophy of hiding right now and staying away. And I capitulated in an email to him the other day and said, you are correct. And I'm stealing this from a book. We are imperfect people capable of doing perfect things with each other when the one who is perfect works through us. You are all imperfect. We have all sinned. We all deserve the punishment for that. But when you understand that he loves you as much as anybody else that came before you, Billy Graham, Moses, all of them, you can name them all. Nobody has more of an in with God than any of us. You've got to let it all go. You've got to surrender. You've got to sit down eye to eye with him and tell him, look, all the things I've done, you know, I know what you've done. I sent my son. I sacrificed my son's life for you. Take that home with you today. Take these stories with you today. Don't forget them.
Thank you, Pat. Right here. Tim. Oh, come on, Tim. Is your hand up?
I am in so much awe of God's goodness and faithfulness, and I know I'm going to cry. But he's provided in ways for my family that, just in the words of the boys, are mind-blowing. And I would tell the boys, it's because God loves you. He cares about your needs and wants, because some of them I felt were wants. But more importantly than that, God hears our prayers in the silent. I pray and I cry in silent. Tim doesn't know. My kids don't know. And I was at the women's retreat, and I told the women, I'm scared. I'm crippled by fear because I've been warring in my body with physical issues. It's not new to me, but when it's back to back, it's overwhelming, and sometimes the pain was too great. And I laid in bed, and I told the Lord, I'm so tired of fear. I'm tired of fear because with fear comes, what if I become a burden? And that is my greatest fear in life, is being a burden to my husband, who I'm supposed to be a helpmate to. And every negative word that was ever spoken in my lifetime comes back. I told him I was tired of it. I went home, didn't change immediately. And a couple weeks ago, I asked the Lord, I'm like, when I go to sleep, can I think of your word? Can it flood my mind when I sleep? I said, I need you to engulf me in your word because I'm scared. I feel like I'm blindsided by this surgery that's coming up, completely not expected. And I said, so please, let me dream of your word. And so I fell asleep that night. I dreamed of his word. There was scripture after scripture of God's peace. Who he said I was, not who anybody else said I was, but who he said I was, and that he was with me. And I would go to doctor's appointments. I could feel the anxiety just rising, and I would tell Tim, I'm like, it's high. It's really high. Then I went for an MRI thinking, no big deal. Well, I discovered I was extremely claustrophobic, and I panicked. I was crying in the machine, and I said, oh, God, I'm so weak right now. I'm so weak. I'm so scared. This is stupid. But can you hold me? Can you hold my hand? Because I had a death grip on that stupid little button. Can you hold me? And he held me. And he listens to those prayers, no matter how stupid they seem. But he was there with me. Does it mean I'm not scared for Wednesday? No, I'm nervous. But I know he's going in that operating room with me, and he's coming out with me. So I'm just thankful.
Amen.
My name is Ken Moore. We've been in this church a little over 20 years now. And I came from a large family there. My dad died in his 50s. I had a sister in her 50s, two brothers, and a sister in their 60s. And then my mom was the ripe old age of 72. Well, I, being a little scared of that because of my whole family died of some type of cancer. I've had bladder cancer for the last 4 or 5 years, I don't know. But I've had a couple of surgeries, but anyway, the doctor, the urologist sees me once or twice a year. Well, he hadn't seen me since March, where it was clear. So I had an appointment on Tuesday, and the cancer has not reappeared, and I'm cancer-free.
I am thankful for this church. I have an issue with Christians, and God's been dealing with me, but actually he's been using James to deal with me with it, but I've had this bitterness towards fellow believers and hypocrisy and all kinds of stuff, but I want to thank God for, first, my wife. If you guys know me, you know that's a hard job to be my wife. I want to thank God for James, because even though I gave up on the church, he never gave up on me. And of course, the Lord is, I think, for my salvation, because he's definitely never given up on me. But I thank God for Wilma. She's like a grandma. And I thank God for Wes. Wes is, the dude never complains. I'm like, dude, you got to have some crap in your life, but I've never heard him complain. I've known him for almost 20 years. I'm just thankful for this church that no matter what, we were gone for, what, 5 years and come back, and it's just like we never left, except for a lot of new faces, but we just, like we never left. All the people that were here loved on us just like they did when we left. So I want to thank God for all you guys.
Thanks, Heath.
I'm Marty, and I just wanted to just say I'm really thankful for this church and for all the people in this church. But what I really wanted to say is, could somebody lead a prayer for Suzanne for her upcoming surgery?
Sure. Father, we want to come before you and just thank you that we can trust you in each and every situation. I thank you for the way you've been speaking into our lives. And Lord, there's been a lot of brokenness shared this morning, and we just want to come with that to you for healing. And thank you for the hope that you give. And even for Suzanne, as she faces the surgery, we thank you that you've already got it. You had it scheduled before she scheduled it. And you have the healing scheduled for her, and you have the plans for her. And we thank you for the good that you are doing in her life and through her life in our lives. So, Father, we do thank you for this family and how you pull us together through our pain. Amen.
My name is Armida, and I guess the obvious thing is that, first of all, that my husband survived open heart surgery this past summer. It's amazing that, so thank you for the church family in the waiting room. We had not just me and my sister, but there were 13 people from church. It was just very encouraging, and the phone calls we got and everything. And I also wanted to share that Pastor James, the messages on spiritual warfare have been really good. Norm and I, after he came back from surgery, had some conflicts in August, and I was thinking, oh, great, for such a time as this, all these conflicts, now that he's stronger. So, but anyway, it's just the spiritual warfare part, and the since I've been a believer, it's been a joy to me to memorize some scripture, but I didn't really know how to meditate on it very much. But finally, in the answer to prayer for all these years, I'd look at my New Year's resolutions and see I always wanted to learn to meditate more on God's word. And finally, after all this time, I came across a book called The Rediscovering or Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. And that has been so good, just to focus on, because it's like I've been starving and I want to get all the word at once and meditate all at once. Well, you can't do that. And understanding that it's a daily discipline, because I've done it one day doesn't mean I've got it down, but every day. And so I'm just thankful for his word and that he gave it to us to live by. It is, I think in Deuteronomy it says about it, it is our very life. It's not an idle word, it's our very life. Mm-hmm. For by it you'll prolong your days in the land. And that's I'm just so thankful for that.
Thank you, Armida.
Good morning. My name is Steve Spear, and my wife and I are kind of new here, just the last several weeks. But I hear a theme happening here that touches my heart in several people's stories, and it's some of the things I've wrestled with in the past, and that's the lies from the pit of hell. And I listened to lots of those lies as far as unworthiness and, you know, low value and low self-esteem and all of this, and that God maybe kind of loves you. But honestly, my impression for many years was that I was that little snot-nosed neighbor kid. You know, you can see it coming out of his nose, and he's got dirt in it. And that's how I always thought God looked at me. You know, he loved everybody else but me. I'm the little snot-nosed brat kid next door. And as God's dealt with my heart over the years, he began to show me that we need to filter what we listen to and what we ponder in our hearts. And the filter was anything that comes against us to degrade who we are. We're the pinnacle of God's creation, we're the apple of his eye. Those things that degrade that are from the pits of hell. They're lies. That we're not worthy, that we're not valued, that we're not loved, that God's not faithful. Those things are coming, and so the screen is, are those things, those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions coming from the throne of a loving heavenly Father? If they don't meet that criteria, I'm not dwelling on them anymore. You know, we need to begin to screen them. Lastly, the in Revelations it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I was saved in a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, years ago. So a testimony is where they pass the mic around and you stand up. And I used to be a terrible, awful sinner, but now I love Jesus with all my heart. You know, and there was your testimony. What God's really talking about is what he says about us. That we have the mind of Christ, that we're new creatures in Christ, that we've been delivered from a dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son. We no longer live in a kingdom of darkness. Our feet still walk on planet Earth, you know. It says that we're more than overcomers through Christ who loved us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the word of our testimony. When the lies come to us, we need to go back to the word of God that is our testimony and what it says about us and not say or believe anything else. It's the path to victory.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, I'm Brenda. And I just wanted to share with you that we have a son who's a drug addict and alcoholic and a granddaughter who is a drug addict also on heroin. But this year, both of them are doing well, I want to say. We've gone through pits of hell with our kids. And lots of prayer from our family here and love and support. Sometimes we would think that things are going well and all of a sudden we'd go back downhill with our son. And he would go back into the meth. But now he's doing well, and he's, praise the Lord, he's not living with us anymore. That was a struggle because he really wasn't supposed to live with us in the first place because we live in a mobile home park. But I have to praise the Lord because he had never given up on us, and I know that he had told us to hang in there and love our son and support him. And he has said that he would never, ever have gone as far as he has without Ken and I helping him through all this. And Pastor James, he knows because he was there at 5 o'clock one morning with our son. But I praise the Lord because now he's doing well. And our granddaughter, she has a job and... she was in the news, and it was a shock for us, and both of them have been in jail and out, but God has been with us and given us the strength that we need during that time period, and don't ever give up if you have a child who's on drugs or alcohol, or just pray for them, love them, and sometimes you have to give tough love.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda.
Is it on? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Diane, and I just want to thank God for the sacrifice of his only son. I am in awe that he was able to do that. My husband and I have one son, Jacob, and we were blessed to adopt him at birth. And the love that I have for my only son is so deep, I just can't even imagine the pain that God had to suffer watching his son die on that cross. So thank you, Lord, for your only begotten son.
All right. Well, hey, I know there's more praises, but I think here this morning we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And, you know, it's an awesome thing as a pastor to watch the family walk with Christ. And, you know, there are those 5 o'clock in the morning when some of these kids flipping out on drugs. And there's those times when it's absolutely exhausting to follow God. And but it's always worth it. It's always worth it to follow him. So no matter where you are or what you're going through, you know, I just think there's this awesome thing we can do in giving God thanks. And so let's just stand and sing a song that kind of expresses that quite well, I believe.